Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here again. Seems like it's been ages since I've been here. And this morning I'm going to be speaking on grace. The Lord has really been speaking to me on grace the last number of weeks. And I have to say, I kind of struggled putting this together, obviously because the Lord was dealing with me. So I knew what was happening in my heart, but trying to get it from my heart to paper was like a struggle. So about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I woke up one morning and that song, Only By Grace Can We Enter, was playing on my mind as I woke. And I have a little prayer room at home, and I went in to pray and I was singing the song. And the Lord just began to speak to me on grace, you know, His grace for me and my grace for others. And His grace for me was very easy to accept, but my grace for others wasn't very easy to accept. So I began for the past number of weeks thinking about it and mulling over it, that it's actually only by grace. It's actually only by grace that I'm standing here this morning. It's only by grace that each of us have breath in our lungs this morning. And this week and last week we were looking at Thessalonians in the Bible Project. And when you read Paul's letter, so it's a letter to the Thessalonians, when you read Paul's letters, whether it's the Thessalonians or the Ephesians or the Corinthians, you'll notice that all of his letters will start off by saying, grace and peace to you, or the grace of our God the Father and the Lord Jesus be with you. And some of his letters always end, also end, with grace be with you, may the grace of God be with you. So I guess from reading all of Paul's letters, I can see that Paul was huge into expressing grace. He was huge into expressing grace that God showed him, but he was also huge into expressing grace unto others. And I reckon it's because he got a real revelation on the road to Damascus when the Lord touched him. And the Lord knocked him off his horse and touched him. And could have easily said, Paul, you've been persecuting my people, so off with your head. Or he could have got rid of him there and then, but he didn't. Like, the Lord showed him grace and said, like, I actually forgive you for what you're doing. So I reckon because of that, because Paul had such a huge revelation of what it was to accept grace from God, that he began to pour it out onto others. And so instead of Jesus showing him grief, he showed grace. So for Paul, it was like, well, if I'm the worst of them and I can receive it and God gives it to me, well then who are they that they don't deserve grace? And when you read through Paul's letters, like, you get to see that he doesn't pull any punches. Yeah, he shows grace to them, but he never conforms to anything. He never tries to get on the good side of anybody. He says what he has to say, whether you like it or not. Whether it's a rebuke or a blessing. Paul just says, this is the way it is. And in the letters we can see that he encourages, he disciples, he corrects, he calls out, he lifts up, he rebukes, he teaches, he prays over them, he rejoices over them. And everything that he writes about, he always says, go back to Jesus. He points them all the time back to Jesus. Go back and know the grace of God. Go back and see what Jesus has done. And the same thing happened in this letter in the Thessalonians. So just a little bit of background. Paul, Silas and Timothy went to Thessalonica, which is in Greece, to bring the message and to share the gospel. And after they heard the message, you know, many of them turned to the Lord and gave their heart to Jesus. But then a riot breaks out in the city and Paul and Silas are accused of proclaiming that there's a great king other than Caesar, that there's a better king than Caesar, there's a king more higher than Caesar. And so because they were fearful of their lives, they were kicked out and they legged it out of the city. And Paul gets worried, thinking, what's going to happen to them now? Like, are they going to fall away? So he sends Timothy back, knowing that Timothy is going to be accepted, because Timothy was a Greek. So he knew they're going to accept him and they'll listen to him. So Timothy goes back, gets back in touch with Paul and says, yes, the church is doing great, they're all faithful, they're all still walking with the Lord. And Paul writes this letter to express his joy to them. And says to them, you know, look, keep encouraging each other, keep building each other up. And I love it because isn't that one of our five loves?
Yeah.
That we love one another.
Yeah.
That no matter what, we love one another. So we pick it up in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, from verse 12. And the heading of this chapter is exhortations and blessings. So this is where we pick up. Verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit, don't despise prophecies, but test all things and hold on to what is good. So here we can see that Paul has given the church and us, because we're reading it, a list of things of what we actually should be doing in our Christian walk and what we should be doing in church. So we should be recognising our leaders because God has placed them there in authority. We should be lifting them up before the Lord and praying for them and praying for their families. He says that we actually should hold them highly in love. And not because a leader is anybody special, or not because they're more important than you or me, but because God has called them into this position. Amen. He says we should be at peace among ourselves, so don't go looking for trouble or causing arguments. Don't sit among the grumblers, don't sit with the gossipers. But trust that God knows what he's doing and be at peace with each other. Then he says, comfort those who are discouraged. Help the weak and be patient with one another. So he's saying, don't just leave it to the leaders of the church. Don't just leave it to the leaders to go out and to help each other and to build each other up. He's saying, you're the ministers. You're the people of God. You comfort them. You help them that are in need. If you see your neighbour beginning to stray, you go and tell him, in love of course, you tell them, I think you're going on the wrong path. You know, be there for the ones that are weak, or help them walk the road. Come alongside them, be patient with them. Maybe they won't be able to get down the road as quick as you. Be patient that they don't understand things as quick as you understand them. Rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks. Rejoice that we can come before the Lord at any time. 24/7 we have access. Rejoice that we have communication with God. And be thankful, because even in the most oblique situations, there is always something to be thankful for. Then Paul says, don't stifle or quench the Holy Spirit. And you know, we're the ones to do that. The Holy Spirit doesn't just say, oh, I'm fed up with them and runs. It's us. We stop them. And we can stop them through many ways, through doubt, through lack of faith, through not resolving their differences with people, through allowing others to distract us, or drawing attention to us, you know, what the loudest singer or the loudest one crying. I'm not talking if you have a loud voice, but if you want your voice to be heard over others. The Spirit doesn't like that. You see, because the attention has to be on him, not on you. And you know, you're probably thinking, yeah, all them things are great, that Paul is saying, but like, what have they got to do with grace? But I said that the title of this chapter is Exhortations and Blessings. So exhortation means to strongly encourage or to urge someone. And blessings means to flourish, to be in favour with, or to be in tune with the will of God. You see, Paul is urging them, you need to be in tune with God. You need to always see the love and the grace of God upon your life and upon others' lives. You see, we can't walk in the grace of God if we're not in tune with God. We can't encourage others to flourish in God's grace if we haven't received it ourselves. And it's only by grace that we can get to do these things that Paul is talking about. It's only through grace that we lift up our leaders, we love them, we love our neighbour, we show compassion, we help the weak, we walk with those who are struggling. It's only by grace that we can be patient with people. And you know, as I said, the Lord has been speaking to me about showing grace. You see, as I said, it's easy to receive God's grace, but it's not that easy to give it out. When people upset you, when people hurt you, when people say things about you, do things against you, whatever. It's not always that easy to show them grace. But when you do, you see grace, when we receive God's grace, grace gives us a new way of thinking, a new way of seeing things. It gives us a new attitude towards others. See, when we receive grace and we're pouring God's grace out, we're no longer saying, oh, here she is again. Like, she just really wrecks my head. Oh, I don't really have time to sit and talk to him right now. Like, I have so much more things that I can be doing. When we receive God's grace, we don't look like that. We can accept the people for who they are. And grace is not something that we just pick up or we find it out on the road. It's actually a gift that we don't deserve. And we can never ever earn. You see, grace is God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favour. His undeserved love that he pours out and lavishes upon us. Grace gives us the enabling power to become sons and daughters of the Most High King. The King that we were singing about a few minutes ago. Grace enables us to do things and see things that we possibly could never do on our own devices. Or left to our own means. You see, God's grace is free for all of us to receive. And Paul is not saying, lift up your leaders because you need to love them because they deserve more. He's not saying, have patience with them that are struggling because they deserve more grace. You see, the same grace applies. So whether it's for the leader or the one who's struggling or the one who has strayed away, the same grace applies. You see, the grace that I need to love my neighbour is the same grace you need to walk with your neighbour. Amen. There's no special grace for one person and then a magic grace for somebody else. God's grace is the same for everybody. And 2 Corinthians 12, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. And I looked up the word sufficient and it means enough, adequate. It's enough. You don't need to take, you don't need to add, it's enough. And you know, we're at the elders' meeting the other morning, I know I was talking about looking up words in the Greek, and I never do, but I did. So the Greek word for grace is charis, and it means pleasure, delight, sweetness, loveliness, loving kindness, and favour. That's what God gives us. And the Latin word for grace is gratia, if I'm saying it right. And it means favour or kindness. It's honouring. It's the source of kindness for whoever. It's meeting the needs. So when Jesus is saying, my grace is sufficient, he's saying, my grace is enough. It's adequate. It's loving kindness. And it's meeting the need that you have. Amen. See, his grace is enough. We don't have to add. Nothing needs to be taken away. It's perfect. It's perfect. You know, when I was a child and I heard the song Amazing Grace, I always thought it was about a woman. I always thought they were singing this song about this amazing woman. You say, who is she? Like, who is Grace? You know, they sing about her everywhere. And there was 2 songs about Grace, so I thought Grace was like really, really amazing. Because one of the songs I used to always hear played on the radio, my brother used to play it on the record player, when we had record players, and it was, oh Grace, just hold me in your arms and let this moment linger. And then I went to Mass, or I was at a funeral, and I'd hear someone saying, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Like, this grace found someone that was lost. This grace saved a wretch. Like, who is she? Who is Grace? Who is this woman that they all sing about? And coming from a Catholic background, I would have thought that maybe Grace was another name for Mary. Maybe they were singing about her. Or maybe Grace was another woman that was so special and so holy, the way Mary would have been. I never knew who Grace was. You see, then I found Jesus. Oh, actually, Jesus found me and saved me. And he saved me from my foolish way of thinking. You know, I thought, I don't really need Jesus to save me because I didn't really do anything wrong. I was never on drugs. I was never in trouble with the police. I was actually an okay person. I was actually a good enough person. So what did I need to be saved from? I don't really need to be saved from anything. But how wrong was I? You see, the more I got to know Jesus, the more I quickly realised that I needed Jesus even more than the drug addict. Because you see, the drug addict or the people that were struggling with the police or whatever was going on in their life, they knew. They knew they had an issue and they knew I need help. I need to be saved. But see, I needed a saviour to save me from me. I needed to be saved from my own self, from my own way of thinking, my way, well, I'm alright. I needed to be saved from that. You see, I needed this grace because I was that wretch that they sang about in the song. Amazing grace that saved this wretch like me. That was me who they were singing about. And how did I get this grace? Just by trusting and believing that Jesus is who he says he is. That's it.
Yeah.
By trusting and believing he actually is who he says he is. And I sometimes wondered, like, why did God choose to show us grace? Like, us humans mess up so many times. They go into the Old Testament, everything that they do, like, they messed up time after time after time. And God still wanted to pour out his grace. Like, why? Why did he want to pour out his grace? Because God is love. Because God is forgiveness. And because God is grace. And that's why he's pouring it out on us. You see, when we receive grace from God, it renews our minds. It strengthens our faith. It heals our hearts. See, grace mends our relationships. Grace will swoop in and pick you up when you're falling. Grace is the one that loves the beggar, rescues the broken, seeks out the lost, loves the unlovable, adopts the orphan, comforts the mourners. Grace is generous to the ungrateful and kind to the unkind. Grace is everything we need and more. Grace is a gift from God freely given to us with no strings attached. No strings attached. God doesn't say you spend 3 hours in prayer, I'll show you grace. He doesn't say if you show up for church on a Sunday, I'll show you grace. If you get involved in this ministry, I'll show you grace. He doesn't do any of that. He just gives and gives and gives with no strings attached. See, Paul is saying to here in the Thessalonian letter, we all need this grace. And we all need to show this grace. To the leaders, to the idle, to the weak, to the discouraged, to the whosoever. And when we surrender our hearts to Jesus and walk with him, he pours out, he lavishes, and he actually saturates us in his grace. So in turn, we can pour out upon others, no matter what their status or their position is. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan. He showed grace where others walked away. Others that we would have thought, well, they should have helped. They should have went over and picked them up. That's who they were. That's what they were called for. But they walked away. And it was the Samaritan, the least that you would expect. The Samaritan went and showed grace. He showed God's grace in human form. The story of the prodigal son. You know, you'd think the father had every right to turn his back on both of his sons. Both of them. You see, one went off and squandered all the money, maybe on drink and drugs and gambling and prostitutes and everything else that the world had. He comes home in rags, smelly, broken, not a cent in his pocket. But Jesus said that the Father was always watching out for the Son to come back. And when he seen him coming from afar, the Father picked up the robe and ran out to meet the Son. He embraced him. He placed the ring of sonship on him. He clothed him in a robe, he took off the filthy rags. And by doing this, the father was taking off the old life and putting on a new one. He was taking off the guilt and the shame, and he was pouring on grace. And he was declaring, this is my son, and I welcome him home. I'm pouring my grace on him. He threw a big party for him. But then the older son, he gets jealous, and he's angry. He's angry at the brother for running away and squandering all his inheritance. He's angry at the father because the father didn't punish the son. The father just embraced him and throws a big party for him. So he's full of anger, he's full of bitterness. But the father showed him grace too and said, son, everything I have is yours. All of this inheritance is yours. Everything. Both sons ran away. One ran away physically, but the other ran away emotionally. And neither son knew the father's heart. Neither of them knew the real heart of the father. You see, the one that ran away was thinking, I'll go back and I'll beg and I'll say, oh, Father, forgive me. I'm really sorry for doing this. You don't have to take me into the house, but just let me even live with the servants and I'll work for you. I'll do this, I'll do that. The older son stayed and walked in the fields, but he never realized it was his. You see, he also didn't know the father's heart. He thought he had to work to impress the father. He thought, if I work from morning till night, I'll impress my father, and he'll love me even more. They didn't know the true heart of the father. And the father said, everything I have is yours. I give it as a free gift. Not because you're working hard, not because you ran away. I'm giving it because you're my son, and I love you. That's why I'm giving it to you. See, grace was shown to both of the sons. The same grace. One didn't get more than the other. The father didn't give the one that came home more grace than the one that was working there. He seen both of his sons. Both of them were lost. And he welcomed both sons home and poured the same amount of grace into each of them. Now, the other day I read this in the Word of the Day. It said there's three things we need to understand about grace. One, it cannot be earned. Two, it is God doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. And three, it doesn't kick in until you stop struggling and trying to do it in your own strength. Like, how many times have we kicked against and tried to do it in our own strength? See, there will never be a week or a day or a minute that we don't need God's grace. And when we stop kicking against it and we acknowledge that we need it, there will never be a shortage of it. God will never run out of grace. No matter what we do, no matter how far away we walk, he will never run out of grace. 2 Corinthians, his grace is sufficient. It's enough. God's grace is like rain falling. You can't stop it. You can't stop the rain from falling. You can't stop God's grace. You know, today, do we need God's grace in our life? Do we need to show somebody grace? Do we need to show ourselves grace? Are we like one of the sons or both of the sons? Have we run away physically? Have we run away emotionally? The Father showed grace to both. Today, do we need to surrender to Jesus and say, it's your grace. That's all I need. You see, if the Lord never showed us grace, there would never be salvation. And none of us would be sitting here today. None of us. You see, the heading on that chapter was exhortations and blessings. Can we make a decision today in our hearts that today we lift up our leaders? That today, from today, we will begin to walk with the weak. We'll walk with the discouraged. We'll be patient with those that can't keep up with us. You know, you're probably thinking, how do you expect me to show grace to someone who really hurt me? By allowing God's grace to fill you, you can pour his grace out onto others. You see, when we allow God's grace in, it gently removes the hurt and the pain, the anger and the bitterness that we feel towards someone that has hurt us. And then out of that, the grace overflows onto them. You see, grace is allowing people off the hook. It's not saying, I'm excusing your behavior, but it's forgiving them. It's releasing them from the unforgiveness that you're holding against them. Grace, I've seen this as well in another book. So G is generosity. R is respect. A is action. C is compassion. And E is energy we receive from the Holy Spirit. So generosity, respect, action, compassion. See, we receive the grace, we begin to respect others. The action is we pour out on others, we show compassion. We receive it all from the Holy Spirit, so we can give out. As I said, Paul ends his letter expressing his heart's desire for people. He not only says at the beginning, grace be with you, but at the end, grace be with you. You see, he's expressing it to the reader back in Thessalonians, but he's expressing it to us, because we're the readers today, that we would receive God's grace and know that it was only by grace that we are saved. We're going to go into a time of communion. And during this time, if we need to get right with God, if we need to receive grace from Him, if we need His grace and His strength to express grace to somebody else, it's during this time that we will do it. You see, God's word is very, very relevant for today. Paul was writing to a little place in Greece, I don't know how many thousand, over a thousand, maybe 2,000 years ago. Paul was writing this letter to them to receive grace. But the word is still alive and active today. So we need his grace today.